We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. This is the O-Line Committee.
How do you feel, Alex? How do you feel? Picking against those 49er fans who still love you all these years
later. I hope
later,
you feel good about yourself.
This is your fault.
I really do. I hope you feel good. I may have won the war.
I feel good?
But I lost the battle, for sure. For sure.
What? What do you mean? You won. Congratulations, man. You are the pick champion of the world.
Brody.
What?
At what cost?
At what cost?
You made me pick against my own team.
You had an asterisk, for fuck's sake. No one like held a gun to your head and was like, do it.
I know, but I still feel bad. I wanted him to fucking win. I literally was like, guys, go do it. Go.
So did I. If you can check the tape, last week I said I want the Niners to win.
Just so
you
mad.
Can't beat him. You can't do it.
Dude, you can't.
You can't beat number 15 when he's playing like that. I'm sorry. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, I don't know. I think I text you guys like, minute 53 left.
That's
don't
it.
Like this. Don't like this at all. Like, it's just so frustrating when you're watching a guy like that on the other team. You just have to be like, damn it. Like, we tried so hard.
What do we do?
But you know what? Like yes, he's ridiculous. He's the best football player I've ever seen. I've been watching football for like 30 years. But if there's so many things that happen in these games. Like, if, you know, if punt doesn't go off, guys... ankle, right? If
dude,
like, that's the biggest one, right? That the no, Chiefs offense
Moody
was
missing an extra
Moody
point.
Missing the kick was the worst. Did they win that, the game?
No. Okay, the extra point was worth 1 point. The muff
but they'd be
punt
up by one
wasn't a muff punt,
but they'd be up by one. So at the end of the game, they have to score a touchdown.
Which not to say that he couldn't do it. Not to say that he couldn't do it. But would have. To watch him come back the way he did, and then all of a sudden him. I mean, dude, just incredible. I mean, this is one of those things where you're watching him, and I agree, Jay. I can't stand the way he's over here all the time. Like, come on. Like, you just eventually you're watching, and you're like, God, that would irritate me. But I'll tell you what, him in a clutch situation, holy shit, man. Unreal. Him and Andy Reid, just, they're
well,
insane.
Dude, let's start with our mics, because I know, John, I know, Boone, you're going in this direction here. Welcome into the O-line committee. Welcome. Into, we just completed our first ever football season on this podcast, so...
And it was incredible. It was how overtime ending. I mean, fucking overtime.
Who was the NFL suit, like the vice president guy that did media early in Super Bowl week? And he made a joke. He said, "Yeah, we got the script handed down to us by Roger Goodell in the league. This is the first ever double overtime game that you guys are going to see in a few days." Like, he was
almost
presumably joking, but. And it didn't go to double overtime, technically.
Yeah, you know, he was sitting there like, please, no.
Oh, God. No.
Literally 3 seconds away from everyone being like, I knew it. All right. Obviously, my mic's going to have to be the Chiefs, man. And more importantly, these three guys. Because these three guys are... I'm going to go order of importance. Ready? Avery, yeah. Number one, the fact that he's still doing it and still having fucking fun doing it, and the fact that everyone still loves him and still wants to go out there. And I mean, the guy he's on every Allstate commercial. He's fucking hilarious, by the way. I think he's so funny. I really do. And then you see him out here and some of the plays that he runs, corndog, you got fucking beat on a play called corndog.
Does he know all of his clever red zone plays after like breaded state fair food?
I bet you he does like cheeseburger. Bacon cheeseburger. Like, dude, this shit is funny. Could you imagine being in that huddle with 3 seconds left in overtime? Hey, I want you. I want to go, why corn dog? You'd be like, what?
This guy.
Unbelievable. Two, Patrick Mahomes. Phenomenal. Dude makes $500 million. He's probably the only player in the NFL that actually deserves $500 million. He carried that entire team this year through all the drops, through all the bullshit, through all the Instagram posts coming back at everybody. It wasn't about you guys. It was about the fans. Yeah, we're not an idiot, Kadarius, and neither are they. That's why you didn't dress, you fucking idiot.
Two-time Super Bowl champion. Two-time Super Bowl champion.
Good chance they're like, hey,
the
diamonds and yours are fake. The diamonds and yours are fake.
Two-time Super Bowl champion.
The diamonds and yours are fake. Just saying. Go ahead. Are you going to call me? Are you going to call me a motherfucker again? Okay. They're not real.
Those are zirconiums.
They're so fake. Kelsey. There was a minute in that game where he was like, fuck, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let my boy go down alone. He caught that ball, and he hit the afterburners on that, like, 3rd and 5, and it was a mesh route, and you could see three guys chasing him, and he was like, I will not be stopped. Like, he just – now, he took a hit, but it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it.
That one safety destroyed his own shoulder.
Broke his own shoulder, dude.
That
dude
tried to hit him as hard as humanly possible and shattered his shoulder.
Dude, it was – that was a malicious game. I mean, that was one of those games where guys were getting after it.
Since you brought up Kelsey, here's the thing. How do we feel here at the O-line committee about what he did to Andy Reid? Because I am very much like, I'm not okay with what I saw. Like, I'm really not, from a couple different standpoints. One, the disrespect. And like, there's something about your head coach where whether you love him, you hate him, or anything in between, you don't go up and do what you did to him and chest bump him and yell in his face and all those things on a public setting. If that's closed doors and you have that kind of relationship with him in a meeting room where you feel you can stand up and say that type of thing, but I don't buy the whole emotions were high, that's my boy. Like, if they lose that game, I feel like this is a way bigger issue and a huge deal compared to what it is now, where it's just going to get swept under the rug. That's my first issue with it. The second one is, you need to know better about who's watching this game if you say you want to stand up and represent the younger fans and you want to be a leader in the NFL and in the community and all that nonsense, you can't show a generation of young fans that that's acceptable to do. And I've yet to hear him publicly apologize. Maybe I missed it yesterday.
He joked about it.
He joked about it, but I think he needs to stand up and publicly apologize, saying, hey, my emotions are high, but you should never do that to your head coach. I don't know. How do we feel about it? I agree. I did not enjoy what Travis Kelce did to Andy Reid in that moment.
I'm not going to lie. My wife brought it up to me. She was watching the game with me, surprisingly. And I think it was more for the Swift because she watched the second half too. I couldn't believe it.
But she, no, at one point, lie. It was for Usher, buddy. She wanted to see 45-year-old Usher just shut off. It might have been.
My wife was yelling, take off your shirt the entire first 6 minutes of that performance.
Can we talk about the kind of dancer he is? He's phenomenal. He moves around that stage. Holy 45? Shit. Dude, get it, bro. You are
fun to watch. Would you guys let Usher... By the way, Alicia Keys is married. Would you let Usher hug your wife like that in front of 120
Absolutely
million
not.
People?
Are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah, no shit,
touch my
dude.
Wife. This came on.
I mean, that was...
But shit got red real quick, guys. I don't know what happened. I don't know. No, but going back to what we were saying, I agree with you 100%. Just because you're boys with somebody doesn't mean you get to go over and start yelling at him and chest bumping him. Two, because it was Andy Reid. Like, he is one of the oldest, one of the most do not push me. And Travis literally went up and was like, what the fuck? And, like, drilled him. And it was like, in that moment, dude, I'm surprised somebody on the sideline wasn't like, that's enough. Like, that is absolutely way too... Dude.
Jerick McKinnon was the one that was yanking him away.
Yeah. Bro. I agree with you. That's not cool. And I feel like it's kind of been the theme a little bit this year with him, too. And that's why I put Kittle above him, because Kittle doesn't have these moments where he fucking loses his mind. Yeah, he gets mad, but he'll go out and just smear a defensive end all across the field, which for me is fun. That's how football's supposed to be. I get mad. I turn up. I go crazy. I don't turn around and punch the head coach and go, why wasn't I in? Because, dumbass, you needed a water break. Yeah. Hello. That's how the fucking game goes.
Yeah, I love that Twitter dragged him a little bit for that too. I was a little worried that people were gonna be like, "Oh, it's okay, you know, emotions were high." Like, no, that's
not the head man,
dude.
Not the head
like,
man.
Even like young players on your team, like, there's a lot of people that look up to you as a leader. Like, and that's just something you cannot do as a leader. You got issues like that, put it in a closed door meeting.
You know, I agree with you guys. It was
he'll probably
weird.
Bring it up on his podcast and apologize, and everyone will be like, "Oh yeah, it's okay." But yeah, I don't know. I have an issue.
It was weird. My biggest takeaway from it, though, was you got probably 50 million Taylor Swift fans watching football for like the first time. It was like their first actual Super Bowl immersion. Mm. And they're watching Travis Kelce show some dark sides of his personality for the first time. There was that subsection of football and Taylor Swift Twitter that are like, wait a second. Wait, does he have rage issues?
Oh,
Is he treating Taylor like this behind the scenes? Is she blink twice, Taylor, if you're in danger in this relationship?
Dude, my wife looked at me and was like, I know for a fact you can't do that. It's like, yeah, you should never do that. You should never do that.
Dude, like on Mahomes, real quick. It's in Vikingsville here where we talk about like Kirk Cousins for 6 years. I feel like every conversation among the fan base is with quarterbacks like that, with Dak, with Tua, with like that sort of B-level of quarterback, it's always a race to figure out why it's not their fault, right? Well, Tua, I mean, the weather was bad and, you know, his offensive line didn't really hold up. And, well, the defense over here, right? We're just like making a list of reasons why he's not to blame for the loss. Patrick Mahomes, if you wanted to, could have those same lists, right, over like the last couple years. Oh, they traded away the best receiver in the NFL or a future Hall of Famer. And the offensive lines had some issues with injuries. My center keeps snapping it to my toes. The defense gives up a late score over here. My receivers lead the league in drops. Like, that same list of excuses, he just overcomes it, dude. Like, he not overcomes it to win 10 games and get to the division round. Like, overcomes it to build a dynasty.
Yeah,
and that's like he is the ultimate. As we sit here and make excuses for everyone else, he just rises above the excuses and delivers hardware to Chiefs fans and to his teammates.
I mean, this was, if I recall, this was the biggest cap hit like he's ever had.
Yeah,
like, I think it was 18% of the cap was
purposely
his salary,
and they did it as kind
this
of a
was like,
it's like
okay,
a reset year, you know, whatever.
Well, and they won. Now that team's just gonna get better. right? Like his cap hit's going to become less and less until they restructure, and they're just going to be able to keep going, getting more and more weapons. Like I don't think they can keep Chris Jones because he's going to need about $120 million. But I mean, that team's not just going to like fall off the map because money's actually going to be back in the team's pocket to go spend starting in March. It's crazy.
And not only that,
that's the craziest piece.
You can finally go get some weapons for Patrick, and that's what's even crazier to think is he doesn't even have any weapons, and now you're like, dude, the back end of that secondary, if they can stay healthy and they can be good, dude.
McDuffie's a dude.
When he blitzed and knocked that ball, like Birdie had no idea where it was coming from, and he just the lane that opened up between the left tackle and guard.
I honestly didn't even see it. Like I don't think anybody did, dude. I'm pretty good at looking at the screen and being like, okay, it looks like slot pressure here. I was like, oh, cool. He's got one on one with Ayuk. And then, as you said, Set Hutt, and they rotated and came off the edge. I was like, oh, that was spicy.
McDuffie.
Like that was a spicy Spagnuolo blitz. That was a beautiful thing. I think we're gonna break that one down, right, Mac?
We got that one.
Yeah. Oh, I'm guaranteed we have that one because that came out of nowhere. Was
spicy.
We've got,
dude. Even Brock was like, "What the? Where did he come from?" And he threw it, and McDuffie was like, "Nope, nope."
Yeah. Our film this week is gonna be we're on the spicy. Chiefs side. We're gonna give you the full. Not the full, but like most of the plays on the game-winning, Super Bowl-winning drive. And then on the 49ers side, this is all on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel. Click that like button, the subscribe button. On the 49ers side, it's four plays they would like back. Three on offense and then one on
probably name all three of those. Yeah,
you just named one of them.
The other one's Chris Jones coming through, everybody was like, why are we not blocking the $100 million guy? Why are we not doing it?
Yeah.
Burford's so, like, I thought we were going left.
Yeah. Well... Keeping on the Andy Reid train of thought here. My mic is the overtime Super Bowl rules. Postseason overtime rules. So you have two camps here at the end of the game that an article came out, I think it was The Athletic.
Yep.
That was saying, hey, I asked both teams about the overtime rules. One team, the San Francisco 49ers, both Eric Armstead, Kyle Juszczyk, couple of guys were like, yeah, we didn't really have any idea about the overtime rules until we were reading it on the big board, right? We thought, yeah, you just want to get the ball first, go down, score a touchdown, game will be over, win the Super Bowl. Not so fast, my friends, right? And then you have the other side where Chris Jones, McDuffie, those guys are like, we've been talking about the postseason overtime rules since training camp. And we've had a plan put in place since training camp on what we're going to do when we get in that situation, how we're going to react. This is what we're going to do and why we're going to do this. And this is the strategy behind it. And it just continues to pile on why Andy Reid's the GOAT. And I'm not trying to shit all over Shanahan here, but that's a poor job in preparing your football team. You have to go into that situation covering every single base, and somehow, somewhere, there's a quality control coach that's going to work this morning for the last time because he did not have everything put in front of Kyle Shanahan all of this. But that just shows championship level. It's such a small margin. Now, I'm not saying if they would have 10 on defense first, they would have won the football game. But I do believe that going on defense first is the correct strategy with these postseason rules, much like college, because you want to know what you have to do or you want to have the opportunity to win the football game if that's the choice you want to make in the overtime rules. But the fact that they had never talked about it and no one on the team knew anything about it is just a bad look for the San Francisco Brass.
Didn't Shanahan try to spin it? And maybe he was trying to play some chess in his head, but that – We went first on offense because if it was tied after the two guaranteed possessions, we wanted the ball first in the sudden death portion. Do you buy that?
No. Because the players already came out and said they had no idea about anything. I mean, dude, Jay's right.
Yeah, he tried, but when the players straight up were like,
they already told us.
I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Dude, Jay's right. When you talk about a championship team and you want to know why this team's already being called a dynasty is because they take care of the little details. It's the tiny details that you hit that make us move faster. And something like that is a tiny detail. Like going over this stuff, the fact that they were like, we've rehearsed this, we've done this, but they were also the reason that it was changed, right? Them and the Bills. Isn't that why they changed
Josh Allen? That's a Josh Allen rule. Dude, that's the Josh Allen rule.
But that's why I'm saying, like, I'm surprised nobody knew, because when they started talking about it, even Tony Romo knew. Like, Tony was like, both teams get a possession. And then everybody was freaking out when the time was running down. And Tony was like, why is everyone – listen, I know everyone's freaking out. We probably read Twitter.
Dude,
like,
I'm glad he explained that.
We were all kind of sitting there, and he was like, dude, everybody needs to calm down. It's just going to go into quarter two. But number one, the fact that nobody knew that. Did you think that the Super Bowl would tie?
Yeah.
Did you think – like, I was my son.
Shake
my
hands, son idiots.
Johnny goes, why is nobody moving faster? I go, well, Jay, it's the Super Bowl. You can't.
It wouldn't have been a tie because they were losing. I needed Tony Romo's clarification that, wait a second, so they get their guaranteed drive, but like, do they get it into a second quarter? Because they were, if that clock hit zero, they were still down by three.
Right.
They scored on the, like, with what, 2 seconds to go. People are ripping on Tony Romo the last couple of days.
I thought it was great
him for clarifying in that
moment. That's
Niners could use that.
That's every commentator's dream moment, right? He's like, I've rehearsed for this.
Yeah.
Like, I know nobody knows what's happening. Like, allow me to usher you into the overtime.
His spotter was telling him probably. He was like, now, Tony, tell him this. Rule number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because Tony then just, like, blabbed all over the game-winning touchdowns. Like, this Super Bowl-winning touchdown,
to be fair,
atmosphere, crowd. Hey, like, Tony, just bring it down a notch.
To be fair, the Chiefs low-key fucking did the Niners dirty, because the clock was running down and everybody was like, oh, they're freaking out. Everyone's like, no, they're going to go into a second one. And then all of a sudden everyone was like, okay, well, we're probably just going to go into another overtime. And then with like literally 3 seconds, they ran a play. And everybody, I think everybody fell asleep because Tony Romo was talking and the Niners defense was even like, hey, we'll go into another quarter. We got this shit. And then all of a sudden nobody had a chance. And it was like it got swept right out from underneath them. And it was low-key fucking kind of funny. I'm not going
to
lie to you.
I mean, even Mahomes had to explain to Hardman, right? Hardman's won the comment.
Yeah, McColl.
He had to explain to him, like, you just won the Super Bowl.
He didn't really fully know. He's like, this is good.
I think he dropped the ball, like, dumb, that you want that football. Like, you don't want to give that thing
don't
up.
Don't give that up.
Right. But, yeah, no, I thought that was interesting. I ended up getting dragged to a Super Bowl party, believe it or not.
Yeah, dude, and you were all clowning. Your rant last week kind of went viral for us a little bit.
I'm not
you
happy
up in a
about
pickleball
it.
Tournament.
I'm not happy.
Send me
about
a picture,
it.
Dude.
I had two of my best friends. We were going to meet together with their wives. We were going to order some pizza, some wings, and watch the game together, right? Not a Super Bowl party, just your boys. All of a sudden, they bail last minute. The wife's like, we have a sitter. I'm not staying home with the kids. And I was like, she's like, we're going to this pickleball tournament because it's my friends from church. I was like, okay. I mean, I'm not gonna die on this hill. And everything was fine. Like, it was all right. They all knew, leave me alone, leave me in my corner to die. And as I was watching it there, everything was good until the final drive of overtime.
No, dude.
Final drive of overtime. I'm standing up.
What was the TV situation?
It was a giant shop, like a huge shop. You can park three semis in the shop, and then it's up out in the country, and they have pickleball courts cut off. But then everyone, like, get pulled chairs around. Like, I brought my own lawn chair. I parked my ass in front of the TV and didn't, like, don't bother me. Except for the last drive, this guy, he had probably a dozen twisted tees. And we're watching the game, and all of a sudden I'm, like, calling stuff out and yelling at the TV, right? It's the final drive, and he goes, you play in the NFL?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't.
Yep, sure did. He goes,
no.
Oh,
no.
For who?
You can't say yes.
Well, because I'm not going to lie. Everyone around there knows I did. Like, I don't know who this guy is. And then he goes, you play in the NFL? And he goes, oh, who'd you play for? I was like, Chargers, Vikings, Panthers, Bills. He goes, oh, do you miss it? I was like, every day. And then he's like, literally, this is what's happening. And he's like, so what's the difference? It's just like a lot faster than college. I was like, yeah. And he just kept asking questions, and I was like looking at my wife, and she's like, shh, because I was like, I'm gonna punch this dude in his teeth, like, leave me alone. Like, he just kept talking and talking and talking, and then at the end of the game, he was like, why is the game over? There's 6 seconds left.
No, dude.
He's like arguing. He's like, they should have a chance. That's not fair. That's not fair at all. They should have a chance. I was like, goodbye. I'm leaving. I'll talk
gotta
to
go.
You guys later. Like, everything was fine until the last 10 minutes was my living nightmare of a Super Bowl party. Oh,
You low key fucked up when you said yes. I'd have been like, nope, wish I could have, but I didn't.
But how do you, but the problem is, like, for you guys, it's easy for me to not have to confess to being an NFL player, right? 5'7 3/4 and whatever. But, like, you guys are both like 6'7" and clearly have, I don't know.
It's clearly hard to hide. I know.
Oh, you play in the NFL? I was like, God.
Yeah.
No, I'm an accountant. Would you like your taxes? With tax season
I'm an actuary. All right, leave me alone.
And then he kept like patting me on the back.
Oh, don't fucking touch me. That's the last thing you want to do is touch me.
Because I was like bent over and like slamming the chair, right? He's like, it's okay, man. It's okay. I was like, stop.
Stop.
I just get worked up thinking about it, man.
The exact caricature that you ranted about last week.
You went off on it, dude. I'm not going to lie. And then you sent us a picture, and I think we were low-key confused. We were like, wait a minute. Weren't you the one that said don't fucking go anywhere?
Trust me, I didn't want to be there, but there was a hill.
You're a fraud, dude. I'm a fraud.
I showed it to Johnny. I go, look where he is right now. Johnny was like, why the fuck is he playing pickleball?
I didn't play a single ounce of pickleball.
I don't fucking know, dude.
I wore Crocs. I was like, don't ask me to play. Don't look at me. Again, I parked down. I ate some weed.
Do you need shoes, though, to wear pickleball? Do you even need shoes? You barely move.
Dude, my knees hurt so bad.
What's up with everybody in their knees in pickleball? You don't even move.
Yes, you do. Have you ever played?
Clearly not.
Okay.
Yeah, you're bending over a lot too, right? Yeah. Like
it's a lot of bending and jumping and moving, and it's not good for you. You wouldn't.
Did you even like hang out with your wife at all during these 3 hours?
She sat next to me. Yeah, okay. She loves the NFL. Yeah, we could have stayed home, but she didn't want to put the kids to bed and all that fun stuff.
I'm not mad at her. That's actually a great call. Like, hey, listen, if we don't have to do it tonight, let's let somebody else do it, and we'll go just sit in a corner somewhere. I'm cool with that. Go to the Legion. Fuck yeah, dude.
There's nowhere to go. I was like racking my brain. I was like, there's got to be somewhere we can go where there's not going to be people. Like,
do you have a Legion in Nebraska? No. Oh, you guys are missing out because the Chan Assen Legion is. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I'd throw that out there because all my friends were giving me shit, especially the ones that watch the podcast.
You deserve it, man.
There's multiple people at the show that watch the podcast. When I walked in, they're like, oh, you're here. And I was like, listen, you are not my first choice. All of you understand that. None of you here were my first choice. Not a single person.
I don't want to be here with any of you.
But I'm here. No eye contact. And now we're here. And leave me alone.
Dude.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, I have one more. I have one more Kyle Shanahan thing for you guys.
Yeah, what's up?
So, all right, Mike Florio. Mike Florio loves the day after the Super Bowl. Man.
Oh, just, he lives for it. Dude.
Just comes in,
lives for it,
picking the meat off the bone of the dead body the day after the Super Bowl. So he's got some Kyle Shanahan. I don't even know if you call this speculation or what, but he basically wrote an article comparing Andy Reid with the Eagles, who regular season success would go deep in the playoffs, would go, they went to like four NFC championship games, a Super Bowl, couldn't get over the hump. And he speculates, could Shanahan need the same sort of fresh start? Has, because there's a lot of, and Booney, you probably hear it, like you're a former 49er. There's a lot of 49er fans that are just sort of emotionally at the end of their wits with Kyle Shanahan because he keeps getting close and then his players don't know the overtime rules or something happens, right? And if you go back to that Atlanta game, he was the offensive coordinator in the 28-3 debacle.
Yep.
He has now been one of the overseers of three blown double-digit Super Bowl leads going back to Atlanta and then twice with San Francisco. Where are you guys at with Kyle Shanahan in terms of, like, can you keep pushing this rock up that hill after losing again in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Or does he need a fresh start somewhere?
No. No, I'm not getting rid of Kyle Shanahan yet. I believe in Kyle. I'm 100%. And I totally understand what people say because at one point I was that guy in the room. Like, what are we fucking doing beating our head on a wall for nothing? Right? Like, it's just, it gets hard. But at the same time, there are not that many good coaches out there. I'm sorry. It's hard to rally these guys. It's hard to rally these teams. And no offense, but everybody all year kept telling him how bad his fucking quarterback sucked. Oh, he's just a game manager. He's just this guy. He's just this guy. So to get all the way to the Super Bowl with a game manager, dude, I mean, we're talking about a team that's been here twice in the last 4 years, right? Been in the playoffs every year.
I mean, it should have been there. I mean, if Purdy doesn't blow his elbow up, they're in it last year.
Like, that's
it
my
should
whole
have
point.
Been Chiefs, like, Niners last year as well if Purdy doesn't blow his elbow up.
But you can't get mad at a coach because he loses to the greatest player ever. Like, it's hard to go out there and do that. I get that you could be mad at the defense. Like, at one point in the game, you saw him motherfucking Steve Wilkes. Did anyone else catch that?
Yeah.
He called the timeout.
Yeah.
Even my wife goes, why are they so off? And I go, because he's going to get yelled at, for sure. And that was exactly Kyle Shanahan going, force them to make those fucking perfect throws every single time. Stop giving them 5 yards. Stop giving them the dink and dunks. I'm not so hard right now on Kyle Shanahan. I'm not so mad about it. Dude, he went out there and threw a double fucking pass in the Super Bowl. Fuck anyone that's like, oh, he sucks. He's not good enough because you don't have the fucking balls to even call that play. Dude called it and it scored, okay? Got to get off his balls a little bit. You got to start looking more at the defense and being like, hey, technically, it's your fucking fault. What do you want to say? We scored as many points as they tell you you have to. Score over 21 points, you should win the game. If you don't, it's on the defense. What do you want us to say? What do you want to say?
For me, I kind of think about it as, like, were people really all over firing Tony Dungy because he couldn't beat Brady?
No.
Like, and he had Manning. Like, I get it. You had Manning, right? And he's supposedly one of the greats, too. But, like, he couldn't beat Brady for how long, right? Like, I don't remember people calling for Tony Dungy's head in Indy. Maybe I wasn't an Indy fan, and so I wasn't listening to it, or I wasn't into the Colts media, or it wasn't a major market like San Fran was. You know, but Tony Dungy was with the Colts for 7 years, I think it was. Or, I mean, I think that's right. And I don't remember people being like, ah, he can't beat Tom Brady, who's the GOAT, like, send him out of town.
Twitter didn't exist at that time,
yes,
really.
That's
so you may not have seen people's opinions. But
we don't remember anyone talking about Tony like that. Like, coaches weren't kind of called out like that. Like, people weren't like, get rid of him. Get a new guy in here.
Well, that's the era of college. That's the era of football.
That's exactly what it is.
I'll say college, NFL.
People think it's just going to change.
That's just the era
of
football. It's like, the grass ain't always greener, friends.
No, it's not.
It is like, you could have Joe Judge walking into your program and be like, I got you to the promised land. Right, like it can go south so quickly. And when you have a great coach, and Shanahan's a great coach,
yeah,
like, you don't want to just be like, ah, because of you can't win the big one against the best, you got to go.
I think what's tough is, dude, teams and, well, fans on one side and then owners and front offices, you're always looking for the next chess move in the NFL. And oftentimes, I would say, what, like a third of teams determine every year that the chess move is firing a coach because you're the Panthers or you just hit a wall and you can't make the playoffs. In this case, it's really frustrating because the answer might just be you've got one of the three or four best coaches in the league.
Yeah, you
got
to go again.
You just ran into one of the five greatest coaches of all time and maybe the greatest football player of all time.
Yeah.
And it sucks to hear as a, if you're a fan of the Niners, if you're the ownership group, right? Like there might not be a chess move. I mean, there's like roster chess moves, but there might not be a big, if you fire Shanahan not like and that. Hire this guy.
Jed's not like that. He would never do that. He is not that kind of guy. He's very calculating. He's very smart.
I don't think, I mean, John Lynch, the DeBartolos, being a former player too, right? Like he's smart enough and he can sit on enough team meetings and he can sit in on enough like around the building type stuff to understand if the coach has the team or not. Right. And I think that will be the ultimate. All the stuff we just speculated and talked about is up in the air. Ultimately, John Lynch will make that decision when he walks around the San Francisco building and he talks with the players and everyone, and they go, do you still believe in Kyle Shanahan? Right. Because if the players don't believe in him and the players have lost hope in him, then it's probably time to move on, because that's a harder hill to climb back from than being able to block out the noise from the fans or like settle the unsettled owners. Like if you can't get the 53 dudes to be like, we want him, we rally behind him, we love him, but we believe in him, then nothing else matters.
How hard is that in a locker room now? If you guys are, I mean, Booney, you guys almost won the Super Bowl 10 years ago. How hard is it to come back now if you're the 49ers and say, okay, whew, okay, that was tough. It's hard. To the end of overtime. Let's push it up the hill again.
These guys have been doing it for like what, the last 4 years? They've been going deep into the playoffs. And that's, Jay and I talked about this last time, and that's what we went through in Frisco the 3 years we went to the NFC Championships. You're tired. You are really, and it's so hard to explain because it's not like, oh, I could just go to bed. It's like your body's like, I'm tired. I'm physically fucking tired right now, dude. And people are like, come on, we got to keep going. And you're like, I'm just tired. I can't explain it to you.
2 month off season.
I don't know what to tell you guys. Yeah. And it's, and you're, and
like all my clients just got back from vacation. Like all my clients that ended their season, like they all got back from vacation. Like all the jokes about like, oh, they're flying to Cancun. Like that shit's real.
No, it's very real.
Like you dudes bounce. See ya first week in February.
Don't call me.
Gone. Don't look like I'm out. And so, yeah, a lot of them were like, oh, needed that, man. Like body feels so much better. I'm ready to get back into training, ready to go. These dudes aren't even moved home yet.
No,
like they're gonna get home at the end of February and be like, well, I guess I'm going back in 6 weeks. Like that's not enough time for your body to regroup from a grueling season like that. It's just tough.
Hey, to Jay's point, that's a great call, because there has been times where people have come to me and been like, how's the team? Is the head coach lost them? Hey, are you guys giving up on this shit or what? It's like, no, we're good. We're good to go. They will come to you and ask you straight up, like Jay said. The GM will come and be like, tell me right now, are we fighting another year with this dude? And you're like, yeah, fuck yeah, we're going. We're go time. I don't see this team at all being like, oh, Kyle ruined it for us. I see them being like, we were a little underprepared.
They do have some cap issues.
Like, well, they'll figure, kick that can down the road. Come on.
The chickens are coming home to roost. Like the
until the Saints get punished.
Like Saints are $80 million.
No, until they get punished, no one's getting punished. Yeah,
$80 million.
Mickey, how far are we going, dude? Are we going to go 9 figures into this hole? Because Jesus, you're never climbing out of that.
Dude, he's just taking the national debt approach. Someone else will pay it eventually.
Benson's like, I got it.
Still on their cap. It's ridiculous,
yeah,
man.
Dude.
All right, my mic, boys. My mic is a man that you guys are both very familiar with in your playing days in the NFL. This is a man who, as a head coach and a defensive coordinator, has coordinated 11 top 10 National Football League defenses. And he is here to help push the Cowboys to the next level. Mike Zimmer, officially the new defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, your former head coach with the Vikings.
Go ahead, Jay. You take this one.
No, Alex, he's your best friend. Go ahead.
I'm so good on this.
When's the last time you guys spoke? It ended really well, right? It ended really well. Last time you guys had a nice face-to-face conversation.
To be fair, the last time we saw each other, we just walked by each other like we had never known each other. And I actually really fucking appreciated that.
Where, like,
you don't
at
have
a
to
grocery
talk to me.
Store?
Was it in a Kowalski's? Please tell me it was in a Kowalski's.
We were at the Combine. It was hilarious. I was with all the boys, and they were like, who is that? I go, don't know. Never met him before in my fucking life.
Did he see you? I mean,
yeah,
you've lost.
We made direct eye contact. Zero love lost, zero fucks given. Gonna be honest with you.
Okay.
Good luck.
Put that aside What do you think of him as a defensive coordinator?
Oh, he's phenomenal.
The Cowboys. There
he's
you
a
go.
Great, he's a great defensive coordinator. There's no
Cowboys
question about
fans
it.
Are like, oh, thank God.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody said you have to like the guy. I mean, some defensive coordinators are assholes. I don't know what to tell you. It's just in their fucking blood. I don't know. We don't get along. I have no love lost. He's a great DC. Over switch two. I know the exact call he's going to make.
Switch two.
I'm not an idiot, right?
Check palms.
Here we go. Check it, dude. Let's go. Micah Parsons, congratulations. You're going to be the number one pass rusher, apparently, because in your mind, you are, like, totally shitting all over TJ Watt. Like, who is this guy?
Yeah, that was incredible.
What do you mean, who's this guy? I just saw him get, like, six sacks in a game. It's okay.
I mean, yeah, Zimmer is who he is as a guy. No, I mean, he is, and he's unapologetically who he is, which I can respect, right? Hey, you are who you are, which is you're grumpy, you're an old man, get off my lawn, on your soapbox type of thing. Totally cool with that because you own it. But as far as a scheme, schematically, X's and O's piece, he's an elite defensive coordinator. Like the third downs that he would put in when I was running scout team with the Vikes, trying to get things picked up and trying to understand, hey, are we pushing through to get four strong? Are they bringing four weak? Like, how are they doing this? The double A-gap mugs and the disguising on the back end and the free safeties roaming around. He's got all the fun tools to play with in Dallas because the talent level of Diggs and Bland, DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, and, you know, he has everything that is – was the Vikings in 17 through 19, call it. And everything's there laid out for him on top of the fact he's not stupid and he understands, like, if things don't go so well initially here for my guy Mike, who I love, my guy Mike McCarthy here.
Do you think there's a component of that? That's interesting.
I do. I do think there's a piece where he goes, man, if this thing comes off the rails early in the year, they may call for his head, and who better to slide in and take over the head ball coach role than good old Mike Zimmer, right? I think that played a certain factor into this decision. But I do think he's going to do a great job down there. I think he's going to be phenomenal for that.
He's got some talented pieces, that's for sure.
I mean, isn't part of the reason, I mean, just for Cowboys fans, for context, the last few years of – I mean, he was cantankerous for 8 years as a head coach with the Vikings. And famously, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago on Hard Knocks, you can find him. He became kind of famous because he was just dropping F-bombs left and right on Hard Knocks on HBO. But he was more of a defensive coordinator head coach with the Vikings for 8 years, right? And mm-hmm. he rubbed some people the wrong way toward the end. I mean, like the Vikings team leaders, like Brian O'Neill came out after Zimmer got fired and said, you know, we really just kind of want someone that's going to say hi to us in the hallway once in a while, you know, like it just, but if you're a defensive coordinator, you don't have to worry about like culture building as much. And,
they don't care.
Right.
Yeah,
just go scheme
they're building killers. They want dogs. They're out there. They're literally firing their guys up all day. They think opposite of us. We're creative and fun. They're rude and shrewd. Like, they're just not even kidding you. Like, they're straight to the point. You're literally like, hey, what's up? They're like, go fuck yourself. You're like, what kind of day it's going to be? Cool. Third down blitz. Can't wait to smoke one of your boys. Yeah, good luck. Good fucking luck. I'm bringing two of them. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
So, but I mean, they're just, it feels like the Cowboys have a roster. It feels like.
They've had a roster, right, dude.
Right there.
That's why everybody's pissed. Everyone's literally like, what the hell is going on? We have a really good roster. And no offense, but for the longest, they had one of the best O-lines. Like, they were doing it year after year after year, and they just wasted all those five guys for years and years and years. And that's fucking hard. It is so hard to have the best O-line for years and years. That's why everybody's like, get rid of Mike. Because they're pissed, and Dak's getting older, and that offensive line isn't what it is, and eventually you're going to run out of defensive pieces.
Yeah, because everything you talked about with Shanahan, right, about like the tired of it, like that's a different conversation in Dallas, right? The Shanahan, oh, you made it to the Super Bowl. Yes, they were prepared. You lost to Mahomes. Like, that's a totally different conversation. Like, you can't get out of the first round.
Yeah.
Like, you can't beat the 9-8 Green Bay Packers who came in here, and you guys are so good at home and light the world on fire, and you get your noses rubbed in it. That's a totally different conversation from Jerry Jones in the world of that might not even matter. Like, you might go to McCarthy and be like, you are on thin ice, like thin. Like, this thing goes off the rails early, because that's another one where the team's probably looking around like, what the hell are we doing? Why are we running this back again? right? Why are we running this back? Versus San Francisco, like, no, run it back. We're good. One where I could see the team internally in Dallas being like, why are we running this back with this dude again? Like, obviously, it's not working. That's where I think Zimmer saw a void. He's like, I have familiarity with Jones, all this, that if this thing goes off the rails early and they fire McCarthy, I would be the one to step in and try and lobby myself back into the head coaching realm in the NFL.
That's some calculating shit, dude. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. Because
but you know Zim. Tell me that's not a Zim move. 200%. Tell me that's not a Zim move.
No, it is.
Dude.
But listen, your defense better be playing very well. Like, they better be lighting it up.
They have too many talented guys not
I know. I'm just saying, if you're going to take over as the interim, you better be fucking killing
it. You think if Carolina called him and was like, you want to come coach this defense? He would have been like, go fuck yourself.
No, not
like,
a chance.
No chance.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
It's going to be exciting.
The calculated nature of the he's been out getting paid by the Vikings for like the last 2 years.
Oh, he's been living like, on his ranch in Kentucky, healing 40, that eye up.
40,000 acres in Kentucky. Yeah,
that eye's healed up. He's not going to lose it anymore.
Hey, the other finalist, I guess you would say, for this job was Rex Ryan, who's been out of the game for probably 7 or 8 years. Did you see that?
That was yes. That was not no.
Rex Ryan. There's no way. I thought it was a parody account when I read that he interviewed. I was like, Good Morning Football right now.
He does the Sunday ESPN pregame show for years, but he also does the Monday Get Up with Mike Greenberg and those guys.
Yeah.
And he was off the show the Monday after the Super Bowl because this job was still up in the air. So
you know what?
He was a finalist, man.
In a minute, Peter Schrager is going to get an interview. Peter, come interview. Come interview to be the head coach.
You think being out of the game for six or seven years?
200%. Because you're going to come into a team with a guy like me, and I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to be like, weren't you on fucking TV for the last 10 years? The fuck you know? I am not nice when you walk into my room. I'm telling you right now, you better be confident.
Okay, but he does have a ton of credibility between like 2000 and... 2016? And that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter in today's NFL for you guys?
Not really, dude. That's the thing. You have to be relevant. You have to show that you've just done it somewhere. Right? You pull this guy out of a fucking studio.
He's just still scarred from Jeff Saturday. Don't worry.
He still has deep trauma, right?
He's got trauma built up in his heart from Jeff Saturday.
Respect,
so you hear his little brain in there hears like TV commentator, coach, and just goes to a real dark place. So you have to forgive him, people. Dark. You have to forgive his
don't.
Little
I'm
brain.
Sorry. I like the guys that sit in the dark rooms with me and throw shit at me. I'd rather have a guy like that be my head coach than the guy that's like, pull the telestrator up. Okay, listen. Let's show them cover two. That's not how the coaches talk in the rooms. We're just letting everybody know, okay?
Dude, I think Booney and Rex Ryan would get along very well.
I agree.
You guys both love feet.
Back to the Zimmer thing before real quick. I'll be curious how that first interaction with old Diggs goes. Because the Diggs-Zimmer relationship was not great, right? That's no secret.
So, Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs was not. But
Trayvon was, probably a sounding board for.
Close. It'll be interesting. I think that'll be an interesting dynamic to get over, because Trayvon's going to call Stephon, and who knows what Stephon's going to say. But I think that'll be something to look at. That'll be an interesting to have those two coexist in that one, too. Because if I'm Diggs, though, I'm looking at what he did with Trey Waynes. I'm looking at what he did with Xavier Rhodes. Like, I'm looking at what he did with Terrence Newman and all those dudes and going, okay, this dude can get a lot out of me if I trust him. And I need to trust him, and I need to get over the hump of, like, you and my brother, not great friends. Like, there was no love lost there at the end between Zimmer and Diggs.
I want to know what Stephon's going to say, too. I'm so curious. Like, Trayvon's going to come, like, what do you think? The next words out of his mouth, I want to know what they are. I just want to. I might even call him and be like, what'd you tell him?
We'll see.
Do you guys have any other mics before we get to dumb football questions here? Get some good dumb football questions this week.
I got one more. I didn't realize it at the time because I probably was in the camp of Myles Garrett should win Defensive Player of the Year. But when you really look at the comparisons between Watt and Garrett on a facial face-to-face level, was TJ Watt robbed? Should he have won Defensive Player of the Year? I'm kind of torn back and forth. I think the answer is he was robbed a little bit. You know, when you look at production, and it kind of goes back to the idea of perception is reality. And I think a lot of that is because when you watch
a Browns defense, you see Myles Garrett everywhere. Right, he is the focal point.
Like, there's that clip of the two tight ends trailing.
There's a focal point to that versus Watt. I don't think has that focal point of that defense because there's a lot of other really great pieces on that defense too. But I don't know. There's a part of me that watching it back and going back and looking a little bit more, I think maybe T.J. Watt was robbed of Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I got the statistics here for you guys. I know you guys.
Defensive is more of a statistics position, though.
It really is.
Because it's a production-based league.
I think a lot of it, too, was the narrative that was spun. And a lot of that came from the media, was that Myles Garrett was carrying this team. We kind of I added to it. There was a game, and I can't remember what game it was.
Was it Indy? When he blocked the extra field goal.
Two fumbles. And, like, you go out there and do that in a game, people are quickly going to be like, yep, you're helping this team. And this was right when Deshaun Watson was out and they were kind of going through some shit and they were still winning. Like, people were like, damn. Like, I think when you stop, at some point you have to look at it and go, did one guy help his team more than the other? Yeah, T.J. Watt's a phenomenal pass rusher. Easily one of the best in the league. Like, I'm not even discrediting him. He's in the top three. I'm not going to, like, disrespect him like Mike did.
But even
at the same time. But, dude. Like, Miles shows up all the time. Like, when you're looking, like, he's just plays ferociously in the way that the team needed him this year, and he showed up for him. Like, that to me is like, yeah, you're deserving. And at the same time, it's like, when it comes down to two guys at the end of the year, it's like, someone's going to get fucked. There's no question. Like, yeah, a lot of people could be.
Dude, I think you guys, this is, I don't know. It's always about sacks with these awards because sacks are the flashiest thing. Or, like, if you, like, you had a strip sack and you recovered it for a touchdown and there's, like, a flash play. But if you want to go off pressures, which are disruptions, I mean, yeah. if pressures are kind of the heartbeat of
pressures and right? TFLs for me are the two ones that I look at because it's, like, that's a run and a pass thing.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, TFLs are meaning you're showing up on first and second down.
Yeah. Dude, Nick Bosa and Aiden Hutchinson by a mile led the NFL in pressures this year. 122 pressures for Nick Bosa. Aiden Hutchinson had 121.
My MVPs of Fat Guy Fantasy.
I had both of those players on Fat Guy Fantasy. I had TJ Watt. So those guys had like 35 more pressures, almost 40 more pressures than TJ Watt. And so Myles Garrett had 89 and then TJ Watt had 86, but TJ Watt had more sacks. He had the 19 sacks and
right.
Nick Bosa had only 16 sacks.
Right. Only.
So I don't know. I think we just look at sack totals and we're like, these guys had more sacks. And so we're going to stop looking any deeper. Max Crosby had more pressures. Micah Parsons had more pressures. Josh Allen had more pressures. Defensive Josh Allen. So, dude, there's some.
Oh, I thought you were talking about offensive Josh Allen.
He probably could if you put him on defense.
Quarterback had more pressures.
Dude, as you list these, are we? This is hyperbolic, but are we in the greatest period of pass rushers in NFL?
It's only
going to
get better. It's only going to keep getting better.
Crazy, dude.
It's part of why
list Khalil Mack, Danielle Hunter,
they're unbelievable, and they're only getting freakier. Like, they're only getting faster. Like, the dude, who was the dude from Georgia last year that ran like a 4.38, right? Like, was it Dean? I think his last name was Dean or something like that. He was like 275, and they were like, oh, yeah, this dude's a pass rusher. I was like, 4.38?
That's
like, what are we talking about? That's not fair. I can't go backwards that fast.
Dude, that's right?
Like, you want me to kick back at 4.3 type speed? Like, no chance. Like, they're only going to get bigger, they're only going to get freakier. Like, it's why offensive line play is becoming harder and harder. It's why the mobile quarterback is becoming more and more important because, like I said, you can be a great offensive lineman. You can. You can be great. You can be technical. You can be all the things. Sometimes those dudes are just freaks, and they're going to win based off of pure athleticism. There's just times where they're going to beat you by half a step. Right, and that's just the way it goes. You have to be able to create and move and do things off of that. I mean, how many times was Nick Bosa just half a step away? I mean, Donovan Smith held him like crazy, and it didn't get called. Yeah. But, like, there's a few times where he was choke slamming, and he was just right there. That one where he, like, drops to a knee and pops up, and he's, like, swiping at Patrick's feet. Like, those dudes are just going to continue to get freakier and freakier. But I think you're right, Mackie. We're in the best, but I don't think this is going to be, like, the pinnacle. No. This is the climb.
And
like, we are on the climb of what edge rushers are going to be in the NFL.
Here's what's wild. So we just went over all these elite dudes that are in the mix for Defensive Player of the Year. outside the top 15 in terms of pressures. So we're outside the top 15. Guys like Will Anderson Jr., Bradley Chubb, Hassan Reddick, Bryce Huff from the Jets. Montez Sweat is outside the top 20. And that's not a knock on Montez Sweat. I'm saying, like, it runs that deep in terms of the top 20 or 25 deep. Pass rushers. Jordan Karloftis, Trey Hendrickson. Like, we haven't even named all these
dudes. Dude, we haven't even hit the Cincinnati dudes. I agree. And that's one of the things that when we watch a lot of film in the gym, we're starting to talk about all these new moves that we're seeing. And we're starting to talk about all the new athleticism, especially when we talk to the guards. Like, I'm constantly like, hey, listen, what we're doing and what we're seeing in the NFL is defensive ends getting moved in now. So now you have to become a tackle. You have to play with more space. You have to be alert for these things. Like, I remember when I first got in the league, dude, three techniques were fat as fuck. I mean, like 360 pounds. Fucking like, fuck your deuce. I'm not going to let you eat me. And now
Big Vince Will Fork out there, three technique.
Played Vince, fucking fell on my knee. It hurt real bad, real bad. Okay. Like, I remember, but those were the days when we were like, man, this is great. Cause when we passed the ball, you were like, these guys aren't going anywhere. And now Jeremiah just said it, they're running 4-3 speed. So I'm telling these huge 330 pound guards, like, hey, you got to be alert for quick moves in here. At the same time, they're going to start making you move your feet more than they're used to because they want to treat you like a tackle. So now you have to jump into this world. Dude, it's a lot. Like, they're the pass rushers in the NFL are fucking for real. And then you talk about the schemes that defensive coordinators are throwing at people and the twists and the overloads. And all of a sudden we look up, it's an Arubi front. You're like, what the fuck? Where is everybody coming from? Like, I'm talking to guys in the gym, and I'm like, okay, next third down, anyone tell me this look? And they're like, never seen that before in my life. I'm like, fuck. Okay, here we go. Check it out. This guy's down. This guy's down. They're like, how do you know he's down? I'm like, oh, my God.
Hey, did you play in the NFL? Did you?
I did not. I had a friend who taught me. I'm on a show. My friend teaches me a lot. I'm a podcaster.
If you need some help with your finances.
God.
I'm a podcaster. Don't say that either, by the way, because that opens a whole new
world. Oh, what's your show, bro?
I'm a vlogger. I'm a vlogger.
Oh, man. All right. Hey, dumb football questions, boys.
Yes. Oh, dude, we're in dumb football questions
this
season.
This is heaven now.
We have so many to get through, too. We have so many to get
through. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're going to play catch up here. So we're going to do more dumb football questions throughout the offseason. So keep submitting them in the YouTube comment section. No question is too dumb for dumb football questions. Mm-mm-mm. We also, starting next week, because, dude, we are... It's combine season where everyone gets a cocktail in them and starts floating numbers and contracts.
Harry and Izzy's gets a lot of attention here in about a week.
Prime.
Speculation season is in full effect.
Yep.
Jay, are we going? We going to Harry and Izzy's this year?
I mean, yes. We'll be at Harry and Izzy's. We go to Prime 47.
Oh, we're going to be there.
All the spots.
Dude, it's all football.
Dude, Prime. Prime. So for those of you that don't know, Indy has a steakhouse, Prime 47. That is like a very, very nice steakhouse. But all of Combine Week, they stay open until like 7 a.m. serving booze. And they just go, hey, I know what this is. I know what's going to happen. And they just eat the fine. They just eat it. Right? They're just like, yeah, cool, whatever. We'll just pay it. Dude, that place, you'll show up at 2 a.m. and think it was 11:30 at night. Like, I've not been trapped in there. It's a vortex. We're like, you walk out like, oh, man, I got to go to bed. I got a meeting at 6. I got a meeting at 6 a.m. And you're like, oh, God, it's 3. Like, dude, it's like a vortex in there where it's just people everywhere. You're talking, you're networking.
Coaches,
right?
Coaches, players.
Yeah.
Dude, we walked in last year and there was a private meeting going on to the left and it was like every head coach. In the NFL. Yep. And they were just sitting there talking, laughing. And like you turn to the right and it's all the assistant coaches in the other room and players. And it's a big like, hey, what have you been doing? What are you up to? Oh my God, you're fucking coaching? Are you for real? Like, dude, it's so fun. Like you just run into all your old friends and you're like, dude, you're alive.
The combine. Oh my God. Dude, the combine lobby of the JW, the lobby of the JW Marriott is every coach that wants a job, every scout that wants a job. Like, you go to Indy if you don't have a job and you're looking to rub elbows and you just have an open tab at the bar and you find anyone that you can that you know and be like, let me buy you a drink. Let's talk. And you just lobby for a job. I've seen it every single year. Every single year.
Yeah, dude. So you guys are going to be down there. I think starting next week, we'll do like a speculation season segment where we can throw out a team, a player, and we can decide, hey.
Caleb Williams, Dressgate.
Oh my god, dude.
Don't. It's too early. Is way too early, and I mean that literally. It's not even six. What?
Who is his representation?
That's I don't know. Him I don't know. I haven't even looked. I haven't even looked because I just can't. For those of you that don't know, I'm gonna pull the picture up and show you here on the YouTube. Where is it? Where is it? Oh,
we just posted it.
There it is.
It's a GQ photo shoot, right?
So Caleb Williams did a GQ photo shoot.
Here, I'll go full screen for you.
GQ photo shoot. And this is what he decided to wear, right? I don't know what this is. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to pretend that I know what fashion is. Like, I'm not. I'm a very boring human. But all I know is if you draft that man and you walk him into an offensive line room, and maybe times are different. Things have changed. I've seen Diggs walk in crazy things. I've seen guys walk in wild things in the NFL. But for a rookie to walk in the league like that, you're asking for problems. You're asking for issues because there's going to be certain dudes in that locker room that aren't going to love that, and they're going to let you know about it. There's no protection. No one's coming to save you. No one's going to coddle you and say it's okay. You're going to get roasted for that. And I feel like that's not going to be the last time we see him doing something like that.
Isn't it also like it's a GQ photo shoot, but isn't really anything that's sort of a look at me, shine a spotlight on me as a rookie?
That's who he is. That's who he is. That's who he's always been.
Super interesting, man.
I couldn't believe it. I thought it was fake. I was like, he didn't actually do this. I was like, oh no, this is GQ. He actually wore a dress. He wore a dress as the number one overall pick in the NFL.
I just don't know. I don't know what the, like, if you're, okay, this is the lead up to the draft and you're looking to go number one overall. And then I would think more importantly, you're looking to go and win and be a part of a, you're not looking to just be like the star that sits on top of an organization as a rookie, right? You want to integrate into a locker room, whatever. Anything that's sort of look at me, like no photo shoots. I don't need any photo shoots. I don't care. Like dress, no dress, just, I'm going to keep a low profile, number one overall pick, get to work, and then we can talk about commercials, endorsements, photo shoots, whatever the hell you want to do once you've had some success. That's
Alex, you're awfully quiet over there.
Trying not to get us canceled.
You're awfully quiet. You're awfully quiet in the corner over there, hey, buddy.
You told him how I would have handled that the minute he walked in. Hey, Rook, come here. I'm talking about this picture with you real quick. Mm-hmm. Everyone says my wife's playing quarterback now. I'm going to show you why.
Oh, man.
Come here. I'm not against it. It's a fucking bad game, dude, and a lot of people get really, really hurt. I don't care what people say. You have to take it serious, and you can't act like an idiot. And you do shit like that, and you're going to get roasted. It's an all-guys team. We are literally 16-year-olds in a 30-year-old body. It never changes. And if you act like an idiot, the entire team. Dude, there's times where the coaches would put it in, like, the highlight reel. They would find you doing something stupid, and they would put it in just to make fun of you. Because, number one, the team was going to laugh, which was great, more morale. And, two, they're literally making fun of you. Like, dude, stop being stupid. This is not how football players act, right? We're supposed to be quiet. We're supposed to be left alone. You guys go out and draw this attention. And drawing attention to yourself is not wrong. Like, to be the first pick, you're going to do GQ shoots. You're going to do stuff. You're going to be asked. Like, no one's going to make fun of you for that. You have to do that stuff. I get it. There's guys in the gym now that have to do stuff. Nobody makes fun of them. Like, it's just kind of the thing you have to do. But none of them are showing up wearing that, because if they did, everybody in the gym would be like, what the fuck are you wearing?
But hold on. You've hit on something here, though, because I think you have to be someone that can be made fun of to be. I'm not going to pretend to know Caleb Williams personally. One of my concerns would be, can you make fun of him? Like, is he a guy that you can kind of, can you poke and prod Caleb Williams?
But see, and that was my issue with him as far as going all the way back. And I know we're supposed to be doing the football questions, so it's fine. But going all the way back to when they lost to Utah. Right. Or maybe it was Washington. I can't remember where he was, bawling in mommy's arms in the stands. Right. And that's where one of my first concerns of this dude lets his emotions control him. Mm-hmm. And you have to have thick skin in the NFL, not just from getting made fun of, but just from a coach who's going to coach you really hard. Right. If you don't get put with a lovey-dovey coach, if you get put with a Mike Zimmer or a Bill Belichick or one of these kind of harder headed coaches, even a position room, a Brian Daboll. Like, they're going to come down on you and they're going to scream at you and yell at you. If you can't handle that from a maturity emotional standpoint, you're toast. you're toast, dude. You'll ruin. I've seen coaches ruin players like that. And when you have a guy like that, I agree with you, Mackie. I don't know if he can handle it. I really don't.
Have you watched enough, just from like a talent standpoint, have you watched enough games and film, Jay? Super plugged into that scene. Is he the number one pick in terms of just talent and everything compared to Drake May?
If you were drafting off talent and talent alone, yes. Right? If it was nothing else, if there was nothing else in the evaluator, right? Nothing else in the evaluator, and you're going, okay, arm talent, ability to throw the football where he needs to, create with space, that type of thing, yes. But I struggle with there's too much other stuff that come in the evaluation piece when you're talking about a guy that's going to turn the keys to the kingdom over for 5 years. That's the difference. Can this dude handle that type of responsibility?
Is he leading 53 adult men who are older than him? You know,
that's the big question. I mean, I can remember when they drafted Josh Allen in Buffalo, and like, you're like, he was a child. I remember I was there. I was in my fifth year, and they drafted, and I'm like, you are a giant child, and they just handed you the keys to a billion-dollar car and said, please don't wreck it and drive too fast, and he didn't, right? But that's a gamble anytime you draft a quarterback in the first round, and that's why everyone's really hoping when you draft that guy, he has the emotional maturity to be able to handle that type of responsibility.
Agreed. And not that he has to lead 53, but he has to lead 10 guys. He has to lead 10 guys out there.
Initially.
Those 10 guys have to, because those 10 guys will be the ones that go to the other 43 and go, he's good. We're good.
We're all right.
Don't question us. We know what we're doing. We're fine. And then it goes on.
Interesting, man. This lead up, man, you're going to hear so many things, so many smoke screens and so much stuff the next few weeks. So, we'll talk more about speculation season starting next week. Dumb football questions, boys. Let's start with this one from Zach Viking fan.
Mm-hmm.
I love football, and I have a 10-year-old son. You guys love football too?
I enjoy
good casual romp on the yard.
Yeah. He has a 10-year-old son that watches all the Vikings games with me, he says. Occasionally, we'll watch other games as well. I want him to watch. I want him to learn. How do you guys have boys who are getting into football for the first time. How do you guys handle watching the games with your boys and answering all of their questions? I want my boy to learn all that I know, but man, sometimes I can't handle answering all their questions during the game. I answer as many as I can before I run out of patience. How to help me as a football father, he wants to know.
Dude, you're not the only one, because during the Super Bowl, I looked at Johnny and was like, shut up. It's enough of the questions.
That's enough.
I can't do anymore. He was literally like, Dad, what is this? I go, it's a 3x1. He's like, how do you know that? See enough 3x1s, bro. What do you want? What the fuck do you want? I'm trying to figure out this play. I'm trying to figure out what the defense is doing. I'm like, you're asking me too much. Literally, my wife was like, you can't ask him questions. He's going to blow. It's hard, but I'll tell you what. There is no better feeling than watching the game with the boys. Like, your boys, it is so fun, because we have a big couch in the basement, and so the boys will come down here and watch with me, and it's fun when everyone's quiet and they're kind of getting it, but then it gets like super crazy. But that's how kids are, and I feel like it's hard for kids to watch a football game because there's so much talking while the game's going on, and they're kind of like, what are we even watching? Like, they're like, this is not how our games look. And I'm like, yeah, it's different, you know. They'll stay for about 10 minutes and then they're gone. Yeah.
My four and a half year old loves football. Like, and it's because it's all I do, right? He comes down in the basement. I'm watching college football. I'm watching tape. He loves sitting here watching tape with me. And like, as I'm rewinding fast forward, he's like, why are they going so fast? He's like, who are we watching? I'm like, oh, we're watching this guy. And like, he's starting to learn the NFL teams. Like, he refers to the Vikings as the Horns. I'm like, oh, did the Horns win? Right? Like, and he's starting to figure out, he's a huge Giants fan for some reason. That right? Boy. Like, massive Giants fan. I mean, I think it's because John Michael, my client, got drafted, so I talk a lot about the Giants.
Yeah.
So, like, huge Giant. Like, he'll cry if I tell him the Giants lost.
Oh,
but
no,
he
dude.
Just emotionally, I know, I was like, buddy, you're setting yourself up for a lifelong
struggle. You're not getting drafted number one crying to dad like
yeah. that. Okay? But, you know, he loves just being a part, and it's something to do with me. Right, it's something to do with me. It's something to do with my wife, and we just kind of make it a normal habit of our household. Right, hey, Sundays, We watch football. Saturdays, we watch football. It's what daddy, it's how daddy tries to provide and put food in your little belly, like all those things. But again, the questions come and go, and you just answer them. But eventually, there's a time where, like, buddy, just watch the game.
Just watch the game.
Just watch the game. Your little brain can't comprehend what you're looking at right now. Like, so just watch the game. I'll explain it to you when you're older. And he goes, when I'm an adult? Yes, when you're an adult, I'll explain to you what's going on. Like, okay. And so he'll tell people now, like, you know how four-year-olds barboon. They'll be like, my dad said, when I'm an adult, he'll tell me how to play football. I'm like, oh, my God. Just
sorry, Karen. Sorry.
Watch the game.
He's excited.
But no, I think the big thing is just make it fun for him. Right, just make it fun, answer their questions, but also teach them there's a time to be quiet and not talk to people, like on the final drive of the Super Bowl. Don't ever let your son be that guy. Don't ever let your son be that guy.
Did you play in the NFL? No, I'm an accountant. Hey, shut up.
Yeah. If it's the final drive of the Super Bowl, don't speak to people. Keep your thoughts to yourself.
Dude, it's so funny you say that he's a Giants fan because Bear is the biggest Niners fan because we have obviously all the helmets around the house. And so he woke up the day after the Super Bowl and was like, did we win?
Yeah.
No, dude, we lost. And he like was so mad. He started throwing his stuff around the house. Chill, bro. Chill. You're not as mad as I am.
Yeah. How do your kids, I mean, Boone, you're starting to see it now. How do they choose a team? Because you guys have your teams you've played for.
Yeah.
And you can, and Jay lives in kind of neutral NFL territory in Nebraska. Boone, you live in Minnesota. So
yeah, they're also Vikings fans. Yeah.
Kid, I just realized my kids stole my Chargers helmet. I don't know what it is. Dude, they play football. They literally, my kids put the helmets on and smack each other until one of them cries. And it's usually my daughter. So,
oh, that's amazing, dude.
But, I mean, as far as picking a team, I think just eventually it's going to be who we watch the most.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like as young, like, we watch a lot of Giants in this house. Like, we do. We watch a lot of Giants. We watch a lot of Bengals, right?
Me and Johnny are Bengals fans.
As I get more clients in the league and we watch, and I think a lot of it, too, will be what game do I take them to, right? Who is Oliver's first NFL game? Right? If I do, because I'm going to take him to a game next year, whether it's Giants or Bengals, like, early season before it gets too cold. Like, I'm going to take him to a game, and sometimes that's all it takes is just one time. He's 5 years old, and he gets a chance to rub elbows.
Panthers-Cardinals game.
Yeah, right? Like, no, I refuse. I'm gonna set him up for some type of success, right? And so just, I think a lot of that's how it was. I mean, I grew up in Denver, so it was really easy being a Broncos fan in the 90s when they're winning Super Bowls and John Elway, Terrell Davis, and all that. But
yeah,
I think a lot of it's just going to be who we watch the most, especially for me being regional, kind of where I'm at. I refuse to let them be Chiefs fans. It's not going to happen.
Jay, if we're taking boys to the game, you better let me know.
Oh, for sure.
Bear wants a hot dog and a fucking pretzel so bad. Every time
that's
we go.
That's the problem, dude. You take those kids to games, you're feeding them $50 worth
so
of freaking food.
Dude,
like, it's just nonstop. I'm hungry. It's like, here's a foot-long hot dog. Shut up. I'm hungry. Here's a bucket of popcorn.
Shove it
right? Like, it's just, they're just constantly eating, and everything's so expensive.
It is, dude. We go to hockey games, like, every night, and every night Bear's like, can I get a pretzel? I'm like, dude, enough with the $5 pretzel. Fuck. I'm so sick of feeding you this.
Kehi wants to know, on the subject of food here, it's a dumb football question, but more of a dumb food question. He says, what's your favorite wing flavor, everyone? I'm currently big on Caribbean Jerk dry rub, then tossed in honey habanero with ranch dip.
Jesus.
That's his favorite. That's very specific.
I'm all about the, if you go to Wingstop and get the Atomic, I'm all about the Atomic.
What's wrong with you?
No. I love spicy shit. You didn't know that?
Atomic? I know you do, but Atomic, that ruins your meal.
I can't do that, man.
It's amazing. I love it. Too bad you, every time you go to Wingstop, they fuck the order up. So I'm done going there. Like, I'm just letting everybody know if you go to Wingstop.
Let's get them out for our sponsorship, huh? No more Wingstop.
Hey, the Wingstop in Cali was amazing because the rookies always had to go get it before the game. I mean, it was phenomenal. But the one in Minnesota is crap. I'm just going to be honest. I'm super pissed off. The topic's not even hot enough.
Boone here for Wingstop.
Yeah.
Find your... I'm a dry rub guy, and I love spicy foods. They don't love me, so I have to, like, I'll eat spicy foods, but it's got to be like a Friday night where I know I can kind of like maneuver my way around
Saturday morning.
Home, you know, yeah.
Be near your throne, your porcelain throne.
It can't be a Sunday night, or I'm going to be. I'll tell you what. So we had some spicy stuff with our Super Bowl spread.
Mm-mm.
It's Super Bowl Sunday, man. Let's just say on Monday morning, that spread took a 3-0 lead on me before 7:30 a.m., dudes.
More like 7-0.
3-0, man.
Fighting the uphill
Pepto
battle.
Pepto-Bismol for breakfast.
How old are you, Mac?
12.
Yeah. My tum-tum hurts. My tummy hurts.
I got spoiled because I got to live in the like wing kingdom of the world in Buffalo for 2 years. Bar Bill Tavern in Buffalo. Shout out Bar Bill Tavern. They'll actually send you wings, which I've ordered from there. They have a honey butter barbecue Cajun that is unbelievable.
Talk dirty.
With a homemade blue cheese.
Oh.
It is by far and away my favorite wing. Hands down.
Let's go right now. That sounds amazing.
Talk dirty.
Oh, I'm going to go to – I want to go out to a Bills game next year. Like, I want to climb on the Bills' back because I want to go back out there. I want an excuse to go back to Orchard Park, and I will go out there to Bar Bill Tavern and just gorge myself on wings.
Sounds amazing.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, I've never been to Buffalo, New York. Never had
Buffalo's not – I wouldn't call it a destination city. Orchard Park. Wouldn't call it a destination.
Yeah, could
city.
You could you make it a couples trip, or is that tough to sell?
That's a tough sell. The old tough lake. Sell. I mean, you can start the lake on fire. Not necessarily somewhere you want to go.
Hey! You leave that lake alone. Okay,
that lake live is by that disgusting.
Lake. I used to that live lake by that lake.
Is disturbingly disgusting.
Probably why I am the way I am. We used to swim in there a lot.
I saw pictures lake of your child Shrek. Easy.
Was gorgeous. I mean, just ginormously large.
Yeah, this dude was Shrek 6'8"
at like fourth grade.
I'm envisioning gorgeous. like the first Friday the 13th movie where Jason Voorhees comes out of the water.
Yes, and like that's literally Alex went in a normal 12-year-old child and came out as like
Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, he just literally. Came out as a giant Shrek.
Dude, I showed a picture one time to Jay. I'll never do that again. See why you don't show people silly pictures? Because they just never forget.
Like, oh, look at this fun moment with me as a kid. And he's like, you look like...
He was like...
Have you not seen this picture, Mackie? No. Oh, I'll send it to you. I'll find it. It's saved somewhere. It's saved somewhere. I'll find it. But yeah, we'll share it on the O-Line committee because it is wow. Anyways, continue.
I got one more for you here. We got to do some film breakdowns too. Nick Correa has a dumb journalist question.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Scribes and pundits. Scribes and pundits. Question. No question.
Scribes and pundits.
I'm not surprised. Maggie,
what do you and beat writers in general? And now I am. I was a beat writer at one point in my life. Yeah. I am not a beat writer right now. All right.
Disclaimer. But
we'll get to that.
Okay. Disclaimer.
What do you guys think about Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, etc., and that brand of hot take sports entertainment? Would you ever want to go that route if presented? I feel like Purple Daily has gone that route sometime. That's why it's one of the top 15 football podcasts.
Nice.
I'll answer that question, but I'm wondering for you guys, like you guys come from the player side. What are your thoughts on the different types of you've interacted with beat writers we've talked about on the show? But then there's like the sports entertainer side, the guys that would never show up and say it to your face, but that get paid millions of dollars on ESPN and Fox Sports 1. This show lands in the middle somewhere, I feel like.
I think those dudes are nothing more than entertainers. Like you said, I don't take anything that they say serious. I know that their end goal is to get clicks and likes and shares, and that is the end goal of their whole existence for being on a show like that, and I don't blame them for it. Make a great living, right? But it bothers me when people take what they say as gospel. Like, you have to understand what these guys are doing, right? Just be a little self-aware of, like, yeah, this dude doesn't actually mean that. And you can go back and look at takes from 6 months ago that were so completely and totally wrong. And then now he's basically saying the exact opposite with the same piss and vinegar that he had 6 months ago. And everyone's like, yeah, look at that. Like, it's just, it's an entertainment. I don't take anything those idiots say seriously.
Have you seen, it's from like 10 years ago, Merrill Hodge debating Skip Bayless on ESPN about Johnny Manziel pre-draft?
Yeah.
And Merrill Hodge is saying, I've got like a sixth round grade on him for in terms of talent. He's not even a first rounder. But then you mix in all the other stuff, and I think he's a fifth, sixth rounder. And Skip Bayless
loses it.
Apoplectic. He goes, this is the most wrong you've ever been about a football player. You're going to find out this, that, the other. Yeah. And by the way, Merrill Hodge is now saying not the same thing about Caleb Williams, but he is saying essentially, I don't know about this guy.
Dude, football players know football. And I mean, I'm with Jay. They're clearly entertainment. I think at times it pissed me off when something that they said disrupted our team. Like the minute that they had a hot take and all of a sudden it fucked with someone on our team. I was like, all right, because I always saw that as somebody kind of taking a shot at us. And so it was my job to go back out into the media and throw it back in their face. There was a lot of times I told Skip Bayless, go fucking pound sand. Called him an idiot, Stephen A., dumbass. I don't care. You are exactly that. You're an entertainer. I can't stand it. And I mean this to my fucking core. When somebody stands up there and says something about football that didn't even fucking play, shut up. Nobody gives a fuck what you think in this room. And that's all I
care
Mac.
About.
No, it's true. I get hot. I got real hot.
Eat shit, Mac.
Not like that. No, because beat writers are right. Beat writers are just there to do their job. And they'll ask you real questions. But when you come out of nowhere and you just start throwing kids under the bus, because Jake can laugh, but he would see how that would affect some of the guys in our room. And we'd be like,
dude, I'm with you. But it's just we're sitting here and Mackie's like,
no, I never said that about beat writers. Dude, I used to love beat writers because they'd come in and ask me real questions. Played,
have a take.
No, you can ask a question, but don't make a hot take about my teammate that's going to fucking ruin my week 14 because he's literally like,
I'll be sure to take that into consideration next time I talk about Kirk Cousins.
No,
by the way, dude, last week, Josh Metellus came into our studio. I work out of the Hubbard Radio studio sometimes in Minneapolis. And Josh Metellus, Viking safety, comes in, and I had never met him in person. Now, we had praised him for the last, 12 months on Purple Daily.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
the queen on the chessboard. He's this yep. integral piece. And he comes walking in, and I go, Josh Metellus. And I didn't know if he knew who I was. He goes, Purple Daily, Mackie. And I was like, oh, God, this is either going to be
good or bad,
really good or awful. And I even said that. I'm like, okay, so you consume the show. I said, is that good or bad? He goes, nah, you guys are cool, man. You guys are cool. Some guys get pissed. Some guys don't like when you criticize them, but you guys do your homework. I think the key is for beat writers, if you come, beat writers are on the ground in the locker room. Like
all the
you're
time.
You're there reporting information largely, right? And so if you come from a place of curiosity and not knowing everything, you can build good relationships, right? You're like, you don't know how to play offensive line. So come from a place of curiosity and ask people that know what they're doing. But there's also a component of holding organizations accountable that exists, and that can create some friction if the organization is, stumbling around and guys need to be called out. On the entertainment side, and that's kind of where my career has wound up after being a beat writer for a long time, is I hop on a microphone and I entertain football fans and Vikings fans. But at least speaking for myself, I will at least attempt to tap into people that have played in the NFL, people who have, you know, on the twin side. I've got two former twin general managers in the baseball world that hey, am I going to sound like an idiot if I say this? So I think, and I'll tell you what, Stephen A. is super plugged into the leagues too. So he talks to people that sometimes those guys will form their opinions based on things that are told to them from people that are in the game.
That are close.
There's a certain level of homework, I think, that you should be doing if you're in one of these spots to serve the audience. But
the beat writers are not bad. They just ask questions, and they ask real questions. And I think that's why it sometimes gets frustrating, is because they know so much. And suddenly they push a button, and you're like, don't do that. Don't do that. And they're like, and they keep digging, and you're like, stop. Please, there's 10 cameras on, and I can't answer this question. Where it's the entertainment, they just throw out reckless speculation, and then all of a sudden every fan in your city hates your fucking receiver. And you're like, well, now that's not good for anybody. Speculation. That's just not good for anybody, right?
For everything. Come at me,
and then, dude, it's like that. But that's why I see them differently. The beat writers I always love, and there's a few of them that would, the minute they got some dirt, they were, digging. And you were like, please stop. Please don't do this to me on a Tuesday. But then all of a sudden, you can't stop the guy on ESPN that's playing at lunch. It's literally like, this team sucks. And you're like, fuck.
I think what we've learned here is Alex has become one of my great friends over the past few years.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Despises what I do for a living. That's what we found out.
Mackie, to be fair, Metellus should not be mad at you at all. Dude,
going to our YouTube really comment session, there's a lot of people that despise you for what you do at times. I think people come over here from Purple Daily just to yell at you.
Tell me where I'm wrong about Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Everyone wants to tell you where you're wrong. I mean, dude has a crusader behind him, and we'll get into that. I can't wait. We're going to do a full Kirk Cousins episode.
That's a different.
I can't wait.
That's a lot.
We're gonna dive deep.
We did it. Didn't we, Mackie? 2 years ago,
we're due for another one here because
Searles is in for it.
this is Kirk Cousins' season right now.
The Oh, yeah.
And then Kirk Cousins' negotiation Hall of Fame season begins.
Kirk Cousins putting on the battle armor, baby. He's strapping in. He's ready to go. He's putting the helmet on. He's ready to rock.
Yes. I'm ready for anything.
Yeah, man. All right, that's a wrap on dumb football questions and the O-line committee. By the way, if you've made it this far, maybe you can also make it to our merchandise wing of olinecommittee.com. We got your clean pot. You guys should be getting your hoodies here this week.
Can't wait.
Cannot wait.
We'll send you more, too, if you want some more. Olinecommittee.com, clean pocket club stuff. We've got spreads are for losers hoodies now in stock. So support us. Help us grow by going to olinecommittee.com. Buy some merch. And also follow us on any social media platform. Just /O-Line Committee. Twitter, O-Line Committee, Instagram, TikTok, obviously YouTube, where you might be consuming this. And we'll see you guys for a couple film reviews on the O-Line Committee.